Welcome to this week's episode of FTR's Weekly Trucking Update podcast, hosted by Avery Weiss. Join Avery each week as he dissects everything from market trends to economic indicators to explore how these factors are shaping the trucking landscape. Download the graphics package at ftrintel.com/podcasts. And feel free to use those slides as you defend your transportation thought leadership within your own company. So, buckle up as we embark on a journey through the dynamic and ever-changing world of trucking. And now, here's your host, Avery Weiss.
Welcome to FTR's Weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 258 for the week of April 1st, 2024. Hope you survived April Fool's Day without too much embarrassment. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at ftrintel.com/podcast. Before we get into the data this week, let's talk about the new Environmental Protection Agency rule regarding greenhouse gas reduction in medium and heavy-duty trucks. You might recall that we discussed this last week as well, but at the time we only knew that the rule was coming and we didn't know yet what was in it. EPA announced the final rule on March 29th and posted it on its website, although it has not been formally published yet in the Federal Register. Last week we spent a fair amount of time discussing what options the trucking industry might have for fighting the rule once it became final, so we're not going to discuss that this week. You can go back to last week's podcast if you need a refresher. But we can confirm that there is indeed opposition to the rule. The Clean Freight Coalition, which represents trucking companies, truck dealers, and truck stop operators, issued a statement opposing the final rule, saying it would, quote, have detrimental ramifications to the commercial vehicle industry, many small and large businesses, commercial vehicle dealers, and their customers, end quote. Among other things, the coalition noted a recent study that it had commissioned indicating that fully electrifying medium and heavy-duty commercial vehicles would cost motor carriers $620 billion in charging infrastructure alone, and that's without even considering how much more electric trucks would cost compared to diesel trucks. This week, we'll briefly discuss how the final rule differs from the proposed rule in key ways. Now, clearly, there's a lot more to say about this than we'll address today, but we'll have to save that for another time. It's a very complicated rule. The version available on the EPA website, which admittedly is less dense than the version that will appear in the Federal Register, runs 1,155 pages. One notable shift in the final rule is that EPA is decreasing the stringency of its requirements versus the proposal during the earlier years, which is model years 2027 through 2030. For model years 2031 and 2032, though, it's a bit of a hodgepodge depending on the type of vehicle and the size. For example, EPA is adopting somewhat less stringent requirements than it proposed for the heaviest vocational trucks. For all model years, it is adopting more stringent requirements for model year 2032 for light and medium heavy-duty vehicles and day cab tractors, but it is leaving earlier years alone. For sleeper cab tractors, the requirements start in model year 2030 as proposed. They are actually less stringent than proposed for model year 2030 and 2031, but they are the same as they were proposed for model year 2032. Also, EPA had proposed new standards for heavy vocational and day cab tractors starting in model year 2027. But the final rule starts phase three standards for day cabs in model year 2028 instead, and it starts heavy vocational truck standards in model year 2029. So that's about as much of the rule that we can process in a podcast format. If you really want to read more, though, you wouldn't have any trouble finding it on the epa.gov website. Okay, let's move on and talk about the data. And we'll start with what's happening with the population of authorized trucking firms, according to our analysis of Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration data. Let's begin with the most interesting takeaway, which is that the number of newly authorized trucking firms exceeded by a tiny margin the number of revocations as FTR defines them. Now, our definition of revocations for a month or a quarter is the total number of revocations of authority minus the number of reinstatements. We make that adjustment because many revocations are temporary as carriers lose and then replace insurance policies, or in cases where carriers have voluntarily given up authority, and this often happens with seasonal operations, and then later have it reinstated. So we make that adjustment to revocations as opposed to what others, I think, are doing, which is adding reinstatements to new carriers. Our analysis shows that FMCSA authorized 5,187 new trucking firms in March and revoked the authority of 5,034 carriers net of reinstatements. The net change in the carrier population, therefore, is an increase of 153 carriers. Now, that's a tiny increase, but it is the first that we've seen since March of last year, when the net increase was actually even smaller at 142 carriers. So what does this mean? Has the market turned a corner? I really doubt it. This data can be pretty volatile. Indeed, as I just noted, this happened a year ago, and it obviously didn't signal a change in the market. Still, we can't dismiss completely out of hand the notion that the market is stabilizing. The number of new carriers has indeed risen for three straight months, and the number of revocations net of reinstatements is generally declining, but we have seen some outliers. Underlying factors would not suggest, though, that the decline in the population is over. Spot rates recently are stabilizing, although they have done so too recently to have reduced revocations, which take a month to execute at a bare minimum. Also, diesel prices are still elevated, and we're not seeing any evidence of a surge in freight volume. Now, one plausible explanation for both more new carriers and a reduction in revocations is the spot rate strength that we saw in late December due to the holidays, and then again briefly in January due to weather. In both cases, the rate increases clearly were only temporary. But perhaps small carriers, or would-be small carriers, interpreted the temporary strength as a turn in the market. It's notable in this regard that the three most recent Marches, March of 22, 23, and 24, have seen increases in the number of new carriers. And in 2022 and 2023, new entry more or less reverted to trend the following month. As I have noted previously, another factor that can skew the numbers is the cadence of FMCSA revocations of authority. For whatever reason, I haven't investigated why, the agency processes most revocations on Mondays. Months with only four Mondays still might have a large number of revocations, but a month with five Mondays seems virtually guaranteed to have a large number. For the record, April has five Mondays, so stay tuned. If we are truly witnessing the beginning of a sustained slowdown in carrier exits, there are some interpretations of that that do not necessarily indicate stronger market conditions for carriers. For example, one truck operations might be seeing fewer alternatives to operating under their own authority. Payroll employment within general freight truckload has been falling slowly but steadily for months, so it could be that many one-truck operations just aren't finding those jobs as readily available as they had been previously. We'll have more insights into that next week when we discuss payroll employment in trucking. In any event, March's data is enough of an outlier relative to what we've been seeing that I hesitate to rush to any judgment about what it might mean in terms of a turn in the market. Moving on to the weekly data, starting with diesel prices, which moderated in the latest week. The national average retail price of diesel fell 3.8 cents to $3.99.6 cents a gallon during the week ended April 1st. Something we haven't seen in a while is a lower price week over week in every single region within the data. California barely made the cut, though, as the average price was down just 0.3 cents. Now, based on what's happening with crude prices, we would not necessarily expect much more moderation in diesel prices, at least in the near term. West Texas Intermediate crude has closed above $80 a barrel in each of the 12 most recent trading sessions, and in fact, the closing price on April 1st was the highest since late October. Okay, let's talk about spot metrics for truck freight during the week ended March 29th, which was week 13 of the year. The total broker posted spot rate in the truck stop system rose by the most since mid-February during the week. Total rates have increased for four straight weeks. That's a streak we most recently saw 2 years ago. Although the total gain during this stretch has been less than 6 cents. So it's hardly a surge. The increases for dry van and refrigerated spot rates were the largest since the weather-impacted third week of the year, and flatbed spot rates were the strongest since early July of last year. Let's look more closely at rates. The total broker posted rate increased just over 3 cents for the largest gain since week 7. Rates were less than 4% below the same week last year, nearly 6% below the 5-year average for the week. The total market rate, which was the highest since early July, largely on the strength of flatbed rates, as I indicated earlier, has declined only once in the past 7 weeks. But again, we really aren't seeing a real big increase in those rates. Let's look at rates by equipment type. Dry van spot rates increased 1.6 cents. That was after rising by almost the same amount in the previous week. Rates, which were up for three straight weeks for the first time since September, were only 1.5% below the same week last year and were 12% below the 5-year average. Refrigerated spot rates rose nearly 5 cents, and they were up for the third time in 4 weeks. Rates were just over 1% above the same week last year, but they were still nearly 8% below the 5-year average. Now, it's important to keep in mind timing. Food demand related to Easter might have been a factor in the latest week's rate increase, but it is notable that volume was down. Flatbed spot rates rose 4.5 cents. That's the largest increase since week 7. Rates, which have increased week over week or decreased week over week only 4 times this year, were nearly 5% below the same week last year and the 5-year average. Okay, let's look at volume. Total load activity decreased just over 5%. That was after increases in 4 straight weeks. Total volume was up 4% from the same week last year, but about 27% below the 5-year average. Dry van loads declined 2%. Volume was about 5% below the same week last year, more than 30% below the 5-year average. Refrigerated loads fell 7.5%. Volume was 4% below the same 2023 week and nearly 34% below the 5-year average. And flatbed loads fell just under 7%. Volume was nearly 13% higher than the same week last year, but about 27% below the 5-year average. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly data with a look at mortgage rates, which declined for the third time in 4 weeks. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage eased by 0.8 points to 6.79%, according to Freddie Mac. Mortgage rates are at their lowest level since mid-February. Freddie Mac noted that data on existing home sales reflects improving inventory. We have just a handful of monthly indicators covering the consumer and industrial sectors. We'll start with consumers. Adjusted for inflation, consumer spending increased 0.4% seasonally adjusted, according to preliminary data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The principal strength was in services, where real spending rose 0.6%. That's pretty strong. That's actually the largest increase in real spending on services since July of 2021. Travel by air was one of the big drivers of growth in real spending on services. Real spending on goods, however, saw weak growth overall. Although, unlike in January, it was positive, at a tenth of a percent uptick in February. Real spending on durable goods actually saw a healthy increase at 1.2% growth, but that followed a 2.7% drop in January. The largest contributor to durable goods spending gains was in new light trucks, which is a reversal of what had happened in January. However, real spending on non-durable goods fell 0.6%, which is the largest monthly decrease since March of last year. With a solid increase in overall consumer spending, the personal savings rate fell to its lowest level since December of 2022. Savings as a percentage of disposable income fell to 3.6% in February. Sticking with the consumer sector, or at least the portion of the economy serving that sector, let's look at retail inventories. Total retail inventories increased 0.5% in February. Inventories for motor vehicle and parts dealers rose 0.9%. Excluding automotive, retail inventories were up 0.4%. These figures are in current dollars, so they are skewed a bit by inflation. However, it is more useful to consider them in relation to sales, as that basically removes pricing as an issue. For total retail, the inventories to sales ratio was steady at 1.33. Excluding motor vehicle and parts, however, the ratio was 1.18. While that is up from 1.17 in January and 1.16 in December, it's still quite low by historical standards. Okay, let's look at the industrial sector, starting with manufacturing orders. Total new orders for durable manufactured goods increased 1.4% seasonally adjusted in February, but a 25% increase in civilian aircraft orders distorted the figures to the upside. Excluding transportation equipment, new orders were up 0.5%. Total new orders were up 2.6% year over year, while orders excluding transportation equipment were up 1.3%. New orders for core capital goods, non-defense capital goods excluding aircraft, increased 0.7% month over month and were up 0.5% year over year. Now, as I mentioned in discussing inventories, the Census Bureau data on new orders does not take into account pricing. So we have adjusted core capital goods spending by the producer price index for private capital equipment, and that shows that new orders for core capital goods were actually flat in February, both month over month and year over year. Nominal new orders for core capital goods were nearly 21% higher in February than they were in February of 2020, which of course is the last month before the pandemic. So that's 21%. Real new orders, however, were up just 0.2% compared to that pre-pandemic month. Finally, unless it was a cruel April Fool's joke, we got some good news about the manufacturing sector to start this week. After 16 straight months in contraction territory, the Institute for Supply Management's Manufacturing Index crossed into expansion territory, barely, by rising 2.5 points to 50.3% in March. The production component jumped by 6.2 points to 54.6%, while the new orders component increased 2.2 points to 51.4%. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. EPA issued its final rule on transition to zero-emission commercial vehicles. The number of new trucking firms marginally exceeded the number of exiting firms in March. Diesel prices fell on average in all regions during the latest week. Total spot rates increased for the fourth straight week. Mortgage rates continued to ease in the latest week. Real consumer spending saw solid growth in February, but the strength was in services. Retail inventories relative to sales changed little. Real new orders for core capital goods were flat, and the ISM Manufacturing Index crossed into expansion territory for the first time in 17 months. Next week, we'll dig into the labor market with a look at job openings in February and the employment situation in March, including payroll employment in trucking. We also will review wholesale inventories and sales and international trade in goods, and we'll recap the week in diesel prices and the spot market for truck freight as usual. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 258 for the week of April 1st, 2024. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Trucking Update podcast with Avery Weiss. Be sure to check out FTR's additional complimentary market coverage at ftrintel.com/state-of-freight-today.